Yud Gimel Amid Aleph. Okay. Where it says, like in the middle of the page, must have been
Ashishis. So next week you should be here, right?
In the middle of the page, past the Mishnah. It's a little bit past midway in the page. It says Masiv and Afshashis. Okay, basically in the Mishnah it says a din that you're not allowed to buy houses, slaves, animals only if you need it for Yomtiv, or the seller has nothing to eat, so by giving him business he'll have what to eat. So then you're allowed to buy things Cholamayt. So the Gemara is discussing about can you pay a worker or give a job to a worker who has nothing to eat. So the Gemara says, L'cha'ed, it says in the Mishnah, that if the guy has nothing to eat, you're allowed to give it to him. So therefore, we can assume that the worker doesn't have what to eat. You're allowed to give him a job that he should work. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says it's a good proof. Basically, that's what the Gemara concludes now. So the Gemara says, Meisav Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes asked the question on this din. Basically, the Gemara's bottom line is that if a worker has nothing to eat, you're allowed to work, give him a job that he could work on Yom and Chol HaMoed, that he should have money. So the Gemara says, Meisav Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes asked the following question. It says, Chachamim, Meimim Chachamim say, Sholosh Umnius Eisim Malacha Bavi Psachim Ad Chatzis. Now, there is a din of not working Chol HaMoed. There's a din, you're not allowed to work at a Pesach after midday for sure. Okay, now, whether you're allowed to work at a Pesach before midday, the Gemara says, is it depends on the custom. If the minig is Makim Shinagu, if the place is, the custom was to work half a day, you're allowed to. If the custom was not to work a half a day, you're not allowed to work.
What do we do?
We never work.
And this is only
Erev
Pesach.
Erev Pesach. No. Erev Pesach is a carbon. Pesach, Yom Tov, whatever. It's nothing to do with Erev Sukkot. Now, in Halacha, working Chol HaMoed is stricter than working Erev Pesach. Okay? That's what the Gemara is getting into now. So it says, Shalosh Umnius, three types of workers, Eisim Halacha, Erev Pesach, Mat Chatzis, are allowed to work Erev Pesach until midday, even in a place where the minig is not to. What are they? Chaitanim, the tailors, Hasaparim, the barbers, Vakesim, and the launderers. Okay? These people are allowed to work Erev Pesach. And the Gemara, the Mishnah explains why. He says like this. He says, Chayotim, why can the tailors work? Because she can't head your tefe, kadarka, b'chol shomet. Because a guy, an unskilled tailor, we learned is allowed to work Chol HaMoed. So if an unskilled tailor could work Chol HaMoed, at a Pesach, a regular tailor could work. Because we said it's lesser forbidden. Hasaparim HaKefsim, the barbers and the launderers are allowed to work at a Pesach. Why? Shekein Abam and Medina Siyam, because it's somebody in the middle of Chol HaMoed, we'll learn later in the next parak. If a guy comes from overseas in the middle of Chol HaMoed, he could take a haircut because he couldn't take one before. Or if a guy goes out of prison during Chol HaMoed, he's allowed to take a haircut because he couldn't do it before. So therefore, these two types of people, mut and lasaper lachabis b'chol shomeid, they're allowed to cut their hair and do laundry Chol HaMoed. So since erev Pesach is easier, so therefore the Mishnah says they're allowed to work erev Pesach. One second. So the Gemara asks, isal kadaitach, if you're going to think schar pe'ula she'en lemayechol, shari, that a worker who doesn't have a job is allowed to work on Chol HaMoed, so kol melach is not milushti, then everything should be allowed out of Pesach. Why? The guy has nothing to eat. He's allowed to even work Chol HaMoed. In other words, the Gemara says like this. The whole basis of this Mishnah says, if you could do it Chol HaMoed, you for sure could do it out of Pesach. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, any work, if you don't have what to eat, you could do it Chol HaMoed. So then everything should be allowed Erev Pesach. Why does the Mishnah say only three things are allowed Erev Pesach? Tailors, barbers, tailors, barbers, and launderers. So the Gemara says, okay, that's what Rav Sheshes says. So basically Rav Sheshes is saying that he's making an assumption that what does the Mishnah mean? that if there's a certain way of doing it on Chol HaMoed, you could do it anyway Erev Pesach. This is the way he's learning the Mishnah. If a certain guy could take a haircut Chol HaMoed, then everybody could take a haircut Erev Pesach. And if certain people can do laundry Chol HaMoed, then everybody can do all laundry Erev Pesach. That's what his assumption is. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to ask two questions on Rav Sheshis' question. Maskele Rav Papa, so Rav Papa asks a question. So if so, El Me'at the Binyan Lishteri, you're allowed to build a building on Erev Pesach. Why? Because sometimes if a wall is caving in on Chol HaMoed, you can fix it. Yeah? So you can build on Chol HaMoed. If you can build on Chol HaMoed, then Erev Pesach for sure you should be able to build. Shekin case alagoya lishus rabim, because a case of all which is leaning into the street, say so beinu kadarkim ibnei sakana. You're allowed to take down the wall, demolish the wall. You can rebuild it because it's sakana. If that's the case, then any type of building should be able to be done out of Pesach, because that's what Rav Sheshis' assumption is. Anything that in any given way is allowed to be done Chol HaMoed, then you could do it out of Pesach. So Rav Papa asks, if that's the case, then you should be able to build buildings.
Rabbi, why Erev, there's nobody in Chumash, the Torah says that Erev Pesach, Erev Ram Tov, you cannot work. But who says that? Where did that come from?
Because of the carbon Pesach became a Yom Tov of Klal Yisrael, because he had to bring the carbon Pesach. Now normally the carbon Pesach was brought after midday. So according to midday, even though it doesn't mention the Torah, but the fact that they brought the carbon Pesach after midday makes the carbon Erev Pesach forbidden to do work. The first half of the day we said is dependent on minig. So, but the Gemara, not only Pesach. So the Gemara is saying that even in a place where the minig is not to do work Erev Pesach before midday, but these three people could, which means everybody else can't. Okay. So Rav Sheshis' question was, if you're telling me that a worker that has nothing to eat is allowed to work Chol HaMoed, then why can't he work out of Pesach? Which means, any work should be allowed to do out of Pesach.
No, but this only applied for Pesach?
Yes.
And only applies to the time of Betamikdash?
No, today also.
Why? Today we don't do it.
But it's still the time of the Korban Pesach.
You're not doing the...
It doesn't matter. It's still the Yom Tov because of the Korban Pesach.
So
then Rav Papa asks, if that's your assumption of Sheshis, that if you're allowed to do it in a certain way Chol HaMoed, you could do it any way you want Erev Pesach, then Rav Papa says then you should be allowed to build buildings on Erev Pesach. Why? Because if a wall is caving in, you can demolish it and build it on Chol HaMoed. And Maskar Avin Arvin asks a similar question. Then a scribe, a writer, should be able to write Erev Pesach. Why? Because they can case in Kedushin, Noshim, Gittin, Veshevim. The din is, you can write documents for Kedushin, a get, and receipts on Chol HaMoed. Because we're always afraid, if the guy doesn't write a get, he might run away and leave the wife in a guna. You know, stuck. So therefore, you're allowed to write a get Chol HaMoed. So he says, if you can write certain things Chol HaMoed, based on Rav Sheshis' premise, you should be allowed to write whatever you want, out of Pesach. And we know that's not true, because the Mishnah says only three people can work out of Pesach. So the Gemara says, you're right, Rav Sheshis is wrong. So Elam and Rav Ashi says like this. What was the Gemara's question? The Gemara asked the question before, what's the difference between Erev Pesach, that only three types of works are forbidden, and Chol HaMoed Pesach, you could say, any work is allowed if you have no money. Erev Pesach, we don't say that. That was the Gemara's question before. The Gemara asked the question, what's his name, said, who said this then? The Gemara answered before, there's a difference between Arba Asar and Chol HaMoed. Okay? Whether you're allowed to do things. And the Gemara said that a worker that has no money is allowed to do any type of work Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara's question is, why by Erev Pesach does it say only three type of people could work? Seemingly, Chol HaMoed is stricter than Erev Pesach. And Erev Pesach, we don't say a guy who has no money is allowed to work. But Chol HaMoed, we say he could work. So how do you... doesn't make sense. Chol HaMoed is stricter than Erev Pesach. If Chol HaMoed, a guy that doesn't have money, is allowed to work, then why can't he work Erev Pesach? And Erev Pesach, the Mishnah says, only three people can work. the tailors, the barbers, and the launderers. So Rav Ashi answers like this. Elam Rav Ashi, Meid Arba Asa Karamis. You can't ask a question from Chol HaMoed to Erev Pesach. One thing has nothing to do with the next. Why? He says, Moed, why are you not allowed to work Chol HaMoed? Mishum Tirchuhu, because it's a bother. You're not allowed to do, remember we learned the whole first two prokim here. You can't do excessive work Chol HaMoed. Okay? So he says, B'mkayim Pseida, therefore, in a way that there's loss of money, Shadar Rabbanu the Chachamim permitted. He says like this, why can't you work Chol HaMoed? Yes, Chol HaMoed is stricter than Erev Pesach. But you have to understand the reasoning. Why are you not allowed to work Chol HaMoed? Because you're not allowed to do excessive work Chol HaMoed. Therefore, the Chacham say, if you're going to lose money, if you don't do the excessive work, we're going to allow you to do the excessive work. Therefore, a guy has nothing to eat, is allowed to work Chol HaMoed. You know why you can't work Erev Pesach? Not because of work. Erev Pesach, the Chacham want you to be busy with Yom Tov. So therefore, if it's the needs of Yom Tov, you're allowed to do it. If it's not the needs of Yom Tov, you cannot do it. And Rashi explains, granted that a guy who has no money to buy food for Yom Tov, Taka could work out of Pesach. The question is though, can you stam do work out of Pesach that's not relevant for Pesach? So it says like this, Arba'asa mishum tzeirich Yom Tov. The Chachamim said you can't work Erev Pesach, that you should get the Yom Tov ready. Therefore, midi the tzeirich Yom Tov, something which is needed for Yom Tov, such as the barbers, the tailors, the launderers, shadar Rabbanu, the Chachamim permitted. Midi the lav tzeirich Yom Tov, something which is not need for the Yom Tov, lo shadar Rabbanu, the Chachamim didn't permit it. Meaning, just because something is allowed to be done Chol HaMoed, which is stricter, doesn't mean you could do it out of Pesach. It depends if the reason applies or not. Out of Pesach, Chacham say, we want you to be busy with Pesach. We don't want you building houses. Houses is not for the need of Yom Tov. So therefore, Chacham said, you can't work out of Pesach. Unless if it's a profession which is needed for Yom Tov. You need to sell groceries. You need to take a haircut. You need to do laundry. You need to fix your clothing. So then you're allowed to do it out of Pesach. Chol HaMoed and Erev Pesach had two distinct reasons. This is because of effort. So when there's because of effort, the Chacham said, listen, you're going to lose money. It's worth the effort, so to speak, not to lose money. But Erev Pesach has to do with need of Yom Tov and nothing else.
And a wall that is
then... No, if it's caving in Sakani, you could do it out of Pesach too. But the premise over here, the Gemara was thinking initially, based on Rav Sheshes' assessment, was that if there's any way of doing a malacha permissibly, Chol HaMoed, then Erev Pesach you do it any way you want. And the Gemara said, that's not true. You can only do something Erev Pesach that's needed for Yom Tov. And therefore, there might be things that you could do on Chol HaMoed, but you would not be allowed to do Erev Pesach.
So in some way, it's more restricted than...
Correct. Because it's different.
We can make a building Erev Shavuot?
Yeah. That's only Erev Pesach. Okay. No, in fact, I mean, the Mepharshim discussed clearly that if a guy tak has needs food, needs to work to make money out of Pesach, he's allowed to. Why does the Mishnah only say three people could work? There's a fourth, the guy has nothing to eat. So Mepharshim explained, because the Mishnah is saying three types of works, anybody could work, whether you need the money or not. Out of Pesach, you could be a multimillionaire tailor, or a launderer, or a barber. Those things, because they're for the need of Yom Tov, you're allowed to work. So they're universally, under all circumstances, you're allowed to do it. The fourth case would be a guy who has nothing to work and nothing to eat. That's a separate category. He has nothing to eat, so he could work.
The fourth category, he's doing it for himself. The first category, he's doing it for other people.
The community. The three others are doing for the Jewish people.
Yeah, but the question is, if you're allowed to do it at a Pesach, why doesn't the Mishnah say it? So, can a guy take a haircut at a Pesach? Not only on the barber, it's also on the guy himself. Can a guy take a haircut at a Pesach?
And obviously, yes.
Okay. But by the way, this is talking until midday, by the way.
Right.
It's interesting because in Shulchan Aruch at Paskins, in Shulchan Aruch and Pesach, it says that if you need to take a haircut, it's better to take a haircut before Erev Pesach. But before midday, you could take a haircut from a Jew, like this Mishnah says. After midday, this Mishnah is only talking about the three things you're allowed to do before midday and Erev Pesach. After midday, it says if you didn't take a haircut, you could only take from a goy.
Up to what time could you bring the Korban Pesach, Rabbi? Until midday?
No, until Shkia.
So why? If this applies to that?
The lot of Jews brought Korban Pesach, so they had to start early. It's a busy day.
Thousands of them, right?
Yeah. Everybody wanted a tongue, you know what I mean? So it took.
So what are they doing? What are they doing with all those thousands of lambs or whatever?
They ate them. What do you mean? What they did?
Who did get the high priest?
No, the people
for
dessert for the afikamen. Okay, then the Gemara. The next Mishnah says, now talk about the furniture moving business. Hey, mefan and mibayis the bayis. You're not allowed to move items from a house in one courtyard to a house in another courtyard in Chol HaMoed. And the reason why we say this is because Gemara is going to explain that's what the Mishnah means. Normally, the Mishnah just say you can't move from house to house. But the Gemara is going to explain that in the same courtyard you could move from house to house. It means in the Mishnah, you can't move houses. Just to explain very quickly, in the olden times they had like this. Streets, like in France today. Streets, public streets. Then they had, off the streets, they had a walled courtyard. You walked in a gate into a courtyard. In the courtyard, let's say there were 10 houses with an open space in the front for a courtyard. Okay? That was one courtyard. Then you went further down the street, there was another courtyard. You know, this is the way it works and it used to work. Okay. So the Mishnah is saying you can't move furniture from house in courtyard A to a house in courtyard B. Because it's a lot of work. Well, we'll see why in the Gemara. But a person can move items to a house in his own courtyard.
This, everything has to do with Chol HaMoed.
This is all Chol HaMoed. Yeah, sure. Now, another din. You're not allowed to bring vessels from a house of a craftsman in Chol HaMoed. Meaning, what happens if I gave a plate or something to a craftsman to fix? Okay, I give him my clothes to fix, or I give him my furniture to fix. The dinners on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to bring them from the craftsman's house back to my house. Two reasons. Either because, unless if you need it for Yom Tov. But number one, it looks like you're excessively working. Secondly, people will think you gave it to him on Chol HaMoed to fix, and that you're not allowed to. Here this din is, even if you gave it before Yom Tov, you gave it to the craftsman to fix, and you didn't have a chance to pick it up out of Yom Tov, you're not allowed to pick it up Chol HaMoed. Either because people are going to think that you gave it to him to fix, or because it's too much work, it's time to work for no reason. But what happens, im chayshish lahem? What happens if the guy's afraid the objects will get stolen by the craftsman? He doesn't want to leave them there. Maybe they'll get stolen. Then there's mefane michotze lechotze acheres. You're allowed to move them to a different courtyard. Meaning, you can move them to the closest house, which is safe, near the craftsman. But you can't bring them to your house. All you can do is take them out of danger.
That means take
them
to your house.
Huh? If you're the closest house, you could do it. But here it means, you can't pick them up. The only reason you can pick them up is because you're afraid they're going to get stolen. So bring them to the first closest safe house, and that's it. but you can't take them home. Okay, then the Gemara says, the Gemara asks a question like this. The first statement of the Mishnah says, you can't move any objects from house to house. And then the next line it says, you can move it to your courtyard. You just got to think you can't move it. Then all of a sudden you say you can move it. So Gemara says, Amit Rei Sheim Efan Eklal. You just said in the beginning of the Mishnah, you can't move it from house to house. Then you say you can move it from the courtyard to your house. You just got to think you can't. So I'm going to buy this, what we said before.
It's not two different things. From court, from his house and his chatzer to different house and different chatzer. That's one way, which is not allowed.
No.
And the other one from your home to the courtyard is allowed, I think.
No, he says you can move them from your house to a house in a different courtyard. Yeah, you can move items to one's house, to a house in one's own courtyard.
Right.
To a house in his own courtyard. You just got to think you can't move stuff from house to house. No, you see in the Gemara answer, Taka, save as in the Baisha B'chotzer. It says like this, you can move things from house to house in the same courtyard. What the Mishnah at the beginning said is, you cannot move, like we said before, the Mishnah at the beginning says you cannot move things from house to house in a courtyard, meaning from courtyard A to courtyard B. Why? Two reasons. Number one, it's a much longer distance, because you go to another courtyard. Secondly, you're doing it public through the street. How do you get from courtyard to courtyard? You have to go through the street. So once you're going through the street, it's a much more public, the public is watching you do things. The other way is more modest, more hidden. So then you're allowed. Otherwise, you're not allowed. So then the Mishnah said another thing. You're now to bring home vessels from the house of a craftsman and cholamayt. So the Gemara said, Amar Rav Papa said the following statement. Badakla and Rava used to sharpen our wits with questions. There was a chachamim of the olden times used to ask the students questions to make them think, basically to sharpen their brains. So the Papa said, Rava asked us the following question. Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, it said, you're not allowed to be, and our Mishnah just said, you can't bring home the repaired stuff from the craftsman to your house. Yeah? But Amin, I'll ask you a question. In another Mesechta, in Pesachim, there's a Mishnah that says, Melichin umevim kelim mibesa umen. You're allowed to bring kelim to the craftsman. You can pick him up from the craftsman. Alpha pishein tzarich lemeid. Even though you don't need it for yomtiv. So Rav asks his mamish a contradiction. Our Mishnah says you can't even pick up things from the craftsman, and the Mishnah Pesachim says you can bring and pick up. It's understood, by the way, picking up is less of a problem than bringing. Bringing is you bringing them to fix, that you're not allowed to. But this Braisa says, not only can you pick up from the craftsman, this Mishnah says, you can even bring to the craftsman. And yet our Mishnah says, you can't even bring from the craftsman. So this was a question Rava asked us to sharpen our brains. So we answered him two answers. One answer is Kambar Ba'asa Kambar Cholamid. Very simple answer. The Mishnah says you could do both bringing and picking up, speaking Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, you could bring things to the craftsman to fix, and you could pick it up from the crafts if you need it for Yom Tov. But the Mishnah that says you can't pick up from the craftsman is speaking on Cholamid. Cholamid is stricter, so therefore you can't do it. Another answer is like this. Both are speaking cholamayt. One braisa says you cannot pick up from the person, and the other mishnah says you could bring and pick up. It depends if you trust the worker or not. In other words, like this. If you trust him that he's not a ganef, then you're not allowed to pick it up. If you think he's a ganef, you're allowed to pick it up. and he
lost some money.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. And he says, "Well, Tanya," and I said, "I'll even prove it, because it says in the Mishnah, a price. I mean, mevi and kelim mibeisa umen. You're allowed to bring kelim from a woman's house. You can pick it up on Craftsman and Cholamed. What? Kad mibeisa kader, a pitcher from a potter's house. Case, a glass mibeisa zagog, from the glassmaker's house. Why? Because those things you need for Yom Tov. But you cannot pick up tzemer mibeisa tzabo. You cannot pick up wool from the dyer's house. V'lekelim mibeisa umen, or vessels that are not needed for Yom Tov, from the worker's house. You're not allowed to pick it up. What happens im elam ayoychal? What happens if the craftsman has nothing to eat? So you want to pay him, you know, to pick up your thing, to pay him. The Mishnah says no. Nice and lishchori, you pay him, but you leave the keli by him. You have to pay him for it, but you can't pick up the keli. What happens im enam aminay? What happens? You don't trust the worker, the craftsman. You're going to pay him, and then you're not picking up your goods. He's going to want, maybe he'll ask you for payment again. Maybe he's a ganef. So he says, manichu bebayis asamachloi. You have to put it in the closest house, meaning you have to take it out of his house, put it in the closest place. And if your fate is going to get stolen in that other house, you can move it to a different courtyard. If you don't even believe that guy, where you want to bring it to, privately you can bring it into your own house. So what does it mean clearly? If you don't trust the guy, you can pick it up cholamayit. If you trust the guy, you cannot pick it up cholamayit. So the second answer of the Gemara, there's two answers of the Gemara. And this is important to remember, because Rav is going to ask a very simple question. One Mishnah, our Mishnah says you cannot pick up stuff from the craftsman. Another Mishnah says you can bring and pick up. Okay? So Gemara answered, the first answer is simple. Cholamayit you can't, Erev Pesach you could. Then the second answer is like this. One is, if you believe him, you're not allowed to pick it up. If you don't believe him, you're allowed to pick it up. That's the way they answer the contradiction. So Rava says, Kais, you got a mistake over here. But the Mishnah says you could bring two. If you don't trust the guy, why are you bringing it to him? It says bring and pick up. You're only answering the picking up. So Rava says to them like this, Tarat's the Mevian. You only answer the contradiction about picking up. If you trust him, you're not allowed to pick it up. If you don't trust him, you're allowed to pick it up. But Malichin Kasha, but how can you bring it to him? The Tkani, it says, Ein Mevian. If you can't pick up, Koshkin Shein Malichin, for sure you can bring in a Cholomayt. So Gemara says, you're right, Al Machavate Kedashini Mikoda. The first answer is correct, not the second. Meaning, how do we answer the contradiction between the two Mishnahs? Cholamed, you cannot pick up stuff from the craftsman. At a Pesach, you could. That's the answer. But in Halacha, if you don't trust the guy, you could pick it up Cholamed too. That's for sure. Okay, next Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, Mechapin es aksiyas bakash. Now, they used to cut figs, and they used to dry them out in the field. Dried figs. Now, what happens when there's rains? So they're going to get ruined. So what did they used to do? They used to cover them. That is two types of covering. There's covering with straw, just a little bit of straw. And then there's covering them with a lot of straw. Okay? So the Mishnah says like this. Mechapin es aksiyas bakash. You're allowed to cover cut figs with hay to protect them from the rain. Rabbi Yehuda says, af ma'abin, you can even make it thick. Now the Gemara is going to discuss what this means. Okay, the Gemara has two versions of what this possibly can mean. But simply learning the Mishnah, the Chachamim hold you can lightly cover the figs. And Rav Yehuda says you can even make a thick covering. What's the logic of the argument so far? A thick covering is excessive work. Thin covering is not excessive work. So the first opinion says you can cover it without excessive work, meaning you can just cover it a little bit. Rav Yehuda holds you can even do a thick covering. And then he says, Meichid Peiris, then there's a fruit. Ksus v'kelim, clothing and utensils, Meichid b'tzina l'tzeir chameid. And cholameid, they can sell their things quietly for the sake of Yom Tov. Not publicly. And the Gemara is going to discuss what this means too. Hatzayadim v'adoshis v'agrusis. These are trappers, grain pounders. Grain pounders, they used to pound them into grits. They used to pound the grains into grits. So those guys, and hagrusis, the bean grinders, may do the work b'tzina, l'tzeirich hameid, also if it's needed for Yom Tov. So first, the Mishnah is saying the same thing by both cases. The sellers of fruits, clothing and kelim can do their work privately to sell things that people need for Yom Tov. The other types of people, the trappers, the grinders and all that, they can also do their work b'tzina for the sake of Yom Tov. Rabbi Yasi says, Heim hechmiru al atzman. The vendors were strict upon themselves. And again, the Gemara is going to discuss what does this mean. Because you learn it two different ways. So basically, this Mishnah is saying that you're allowed to do things for Yom Tov, but you have to do a bitzina. Rabbi Yasi says the vendors didn't even do it, well, they were machmer upon themselves. Let's soon see what that means.
And is Yossi speaking about the second part, Sayadin Shushut, or?
All the guys, except the first thing. The first thing about covering the cut figs with straw, that's a different story. He's speaking about all the Meichir guys.
Right.
Whether it's Ksus Kalim, it's the same din, because Meichir Mitzinah or Eisim Mitzinah. Rabbi Yasi holds they were Machmer. And the Gemara is going to discuss two ways of learning that.
And Letzorach HaMoed, we don't know if it's for their sake, Tzorach HaMoed, or for the customers.
No, Tzorach HaMoed means if the people need a Fi Yom Tov.
The customers.
Customers. Yeah. Now obviously we're talking Chol HaMoed for the last days.
What do you mean for the last days?
Tzorach HaMoed is either what you need Chol HaMoed or for the last days of Yom Tov.
Right.
Pesach and Sukkot, I'm not talking about the first days. The first days are gone already. So the Gemara says now, Pliga, but Abchia Barabba Veravasi. Abchia Barabba and Ravasi argued what this means. And both say the name of Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. What it means is like this. What does it mean, lightly covering the cut figs? Or what does it mean, thick covering of the figs? So Chad Amar like this. Mechapin Aklushe. We may cover means with stalks of straw which are separated from one another. Meaning loosely covering it. What does ma'avin mean? Asmuchi. Meaning putting them close together, the straw. So according to them, lightly covering, or Debuta says thick covering, is all with straw. The only question is, can you put light amount of straw or a heavy amount of straw? That's one opinion. Mechadam, and the other opinion says, Mechafim bein aklusha bein asmuchi. Mechafim means to cover that the Chacham say you're allowed to do with any type of straw. A little straw, a lot of straw, that's all allowed. That's called thin covering. What does Rav Yehuda mean when he says you can even do a thick covering? Ma'avin means, Eisa Eisa Kumin Kri. You could take the figs and make it into a compact pile that it's easier to cover. When you have figs all over the place, so it's very easy to take straw and cover it. Okay? The only difference is, the Chachamim said, you can cover it lightly. So one opinion says, what does lightly mean? You know, lightly putting the straw, but not a lot of straw. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, based on that opinion, you can even make a lot of straw. The second opinion says, no. The Chachamim hold, you can put a lot of straw, a little straw, that's no problem. You can't make a thick covering, which Rabbi Yehuda allows, What does a thick covering mean? To pile together all the figs into one solid pile, which is a lot of work, and then it's easy to cover. So Rabbi Yehuda holds you can even do a lot of work and pile it into one pile, which makes it easier to protect it. And that the Chachamim hold is too much work, you can't. What you're allowed to do is cover it with straw. And Tanya Nami Hachi, so we learned in the Braisa, like the second opinion, because the Braisa says, Ma'avin, what does it mean make a thick cover for the figs? Eisa Eisik Min Kri, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, it means you can make it into a compact pile. So based on this Braisa, the argument is as follows. The Chachamim hold, you could put any amount of straw over the figs, as long as you don't pile them together. But that's a lot of work. Now, you know, you can pile them together, even though it's a lot of work, but it's an easier way of protecting them. Okay, next in, the Mishnah said as follows. It said in the Mishnah, Mecher Peiris Ksus V'Kel Mecher Metzina. The guy that sells fruit, clothing, you know, or these work, the hunters or that, could do their work, Betzina, if it's needed for Yom Tov, privately. And Abiasi said, they were machmenatu. Right? So the question, what does Rabbi Yossi mean? Iboilu, they asked the Shaila in the Gemara like this. Hey, nechmiru lal atzmam do le'ava of the klal? Does it mean that they were machmen not to do it at all? You know, the first opinion says they could do it privately. And they were machmen not to do it at all. Ay dilma ava av the bitzina means is they did it in private. What does it mean? According to the first opinion, you must do it in private. You're not allowed to do it in public. According to this Shaila, Rabbi Yossi says no. You are allowed to do it in public. They were strict not to do it in public. But halachically, you're allowed to do it in public. The first opinion says you can't do it in public. So what does Rabbi Yossi mean? There's two ways of learning Rabbi Yossi. One way is that the first opinion says he could do it privately, and Rabbi Yossi said they were strict not to do it at all. That's one way of learning. Which means, according to Rabbi Yossi, they were stricter than the first opinion. The second way of learning it, the Gemara is asking, is maybe the Chachamim say you must do it privately. Rabbi Yossi holds no, you're allowed to do it publicly, and this that they didn't was a chumrah. But if you want to, you're allowed to. That's the Gemara's question, what does it mean? So the Gemara says, Toshma, come, I'll answer it. Because it says, Mechri peiris ksus v'kelim, mechrim betzina l'tzeir chameit. All these people, again, they sell fruits, garments, clothing, whatever, are allowed to do it for Yom Tov. Betzina. Rabbi Yossi Eimer, Rabbi Yossi says like this, Tagari, Rabbi Yossi lived in Tveria, in Tiberias. Tagri Tveria, they didn't sell it at all. Because they were machmen not to sell it all. So you see from Rabbi Yossi, so far clearly, that what does he mean when he says they were machmen upon themselves not to? Not to do it at all. Or, tzadi chayez v'efes v'dogim, the people that trap birds, fish, whatever, animals, tzadim b'tzina l'tzei chamei can trap in private. For Yom Tov, Rabbi Yossi Eimer, see the Aku. The trappers lived in Aku. Each city had their own professions. Hachmiro la'atzman, shalei yetzadin kol ikah, they didn't trap at all. So you see, how does the Braisa learn Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi says clearly the Taka didn't do it at all. And then he continues. The Shushi Chilka Targis Vitinsi, the people that pound wheat into, the Gemara is going to explain what this means. Chilka, Tagris, and Tisni, Deishish, and Betzina, the Tzeir Hamed, can grind it privately for Yom Tov. Rabbi Yossi Eimer, the Shushi Tzipedi, the grain pounders of the city of Tzipedi, that's where they ground the things, Yechmira la'atzmam, Shteya Deishish, they didn't do it at all. So in the Gemara's question, what does it mean over here when the Tanakhama says they could do it in private and Rabbi Yossi said they were machmen not to do it? It means they didn't do it at all. You see clearly from the Bible that's what it means. Then it says, Amar Abaye, the Gemara is going to discuss what do all these things mean. Chilkot, you know, all these things that they're speaking about the grain pounders. What do these things mean? Abaye says like this. Chilka, what does chilka mean? Chada letarti, when you split a kernel one into two. Targis is when you split it into three. Tisne is splitting it into four. But they're all made out of wheat. In other words, according to Abaye's opinion, chilka, targis, and tisni are all speaking about wheat. What's the difference between A, B, and C? One is cutting it in half, one is cutting into thirds, one is cutting into fourths. But it's all about wheat. So the Gemara says, Meisel, Akasad Abdimi, I'm sorry, when Abdimi came, he said, no, you know what the chilk is? It's not cutting into one, it means spelt. Not wheat, but it means cutting spelt. Okay, that's what he learns. So Meisve, I'll ask you a question. It says in the Braise, Chilka Targis Tisni Tmeim B'chol Mokim. Chilka Targis, it is the same three things we're just talking about, are always Tommy in all locations. Meaning, whether it's a big city, a little city, the bottom line is, it becomes susceptible through liquid, and therefore they could become Tommy. So the Gemara says, Bishleim L'man D'yam, and that's only going to count Abaye's opinion. It says, it's all speaking about wheat. One is cutting it into two, one is cutting into three, and one is cutting into four. It makes sense. Why? Mishum Hachi Tmeim B'chol Mokim, because that's why they become Tomei. Why can they become Tomei? This Kashin, they became prepared. We remember we learned that in order to become Tomei, it first has to get wet. Once it got wet once, now it's susceptible to become Tomei. So he says, in order to cut wheat into two, three, or four, you have to soak it to soften it. So then it makes sense why the Mishnah, Braise, or whatever it is, says, Chilki, Targis, and Tisni are susceptible to become Tomei because they got wet. But Gemara says, El Elamand Yamakusna, but if you say it means spelt, Amai Tmeim B'chol Mokim, why could it become Tomei? Halei Yiskashu was never soaked. It never got wet. So how could it be susceptible to Tumah? So from here you see that Abaye was right, that Chilkat is all speaking about wheat. But the question that Avdimi says it's speaking about spelt, if it's spelt, how is it susceptible to become Tomei? So the Gemara answers, Kugain de Mekalfen. Chilke is not only spelt. Chilke is when the spelt is holed. Now what does it mean? The spelt comes in a thick shell. That's what a hole is. Hold means you peeled it, you took it off. In order to remove the hard shell, you have to soak it to soften it up to be able to remove the hard shell. So he had the Gemara answers, spelt is also susceptible to become tummy because it also got wet. The Gemara thought, if you're not cutting the spelt, why should it become tummy? It never got wet. The Gemara said, yeah, it got wet, because in order to remove the hard skin, you need to soak it. So the Gemara asked, if so, why is it called chilka? According to Abaye, it makes sense. Chilka means chelik, to divide. But how does chilka get to spelt? So the Gemara asked, the shokel chilkayu, because you make it smooth. Meaning, when you remove the hole of the spelt, the covering of the spelt, the Gemara said the spelt is very smooth. Chilka can mean two words. Cholak, to divide. Or cholak can mean smooth. The glat in Hebrew is called cholak. The glat kosher is called cholak. Because it's smooth. So therefore the Gemara says, Abaye learns it's called chilka because he split it into two. And Avdimi says, the reason why it's called chilka is because it becomes smooth after you remove the outer heavy hole from it. Then the Gemara asks a question. Meisvei, the Gemara asks a question of Avdimi. The Avdimi said, Chilka means spelt. Okay? Now, it says, Meisvei, I'll ask you a question. Adnei de minadogon, if somebody made a vow not to eat any grain, Osirav papul mitzri, he's forbidden even to eat dry Egyptian beans because they're called dogon grain. Umoter belach, but he can eat fresh Egyptian beans. Fresh Egyptian beans are not stored in piles. And dagon, grain, means things stored in piles. Okay? So if a guy made a vow, a guy makes a vow, I'm not going to eat any dagon. Anything which is called dagon, he's not allowed to eat. If it's not called dagon, then he can eat it. So the Gemara says, dry Egyptian beans are piled in a pile, so it's called dagon, so he can't eat it. If it's fresh, then they're not piled into piles, and then it's not grain, and therefore you could eat it. Not only that, moter be'eres, he's allowed to eat rice, because rice is not a grain. He's allowed to eat chilka, targis, and tisani. Now, the Gemara says like this, Bishleim lemandi amachad letar tichad letas v'chad l'arbo shapir. Why? The nafkalu mitir is dagon. Because once you chop up grain, it's not grain anymore. So the Gemara says, it makes us according to Abaye. Abaye said, what does chilkat this stuff mean? You're cutting into one, into two, or into three. So the Mishnah says over here, or Braisa, if you make a vow not to eat dagon, you can eat cut up wheat. Why? Because once it's cut up, it's not grain anymore. But El Lamandi Amakusna, but if you say chilka is spelt, and it's not speaking about cut up spelt, it's speaking about the whole spelt, dagon mali is full fledged dagon. It's one of the five grains. So if a guy makes a vow not to eat grain, how could he eat spelt? If chilka means spelt. If chilka means wheat, wheat that's cut up is not a grain. But if you tell me it's spelt, it's not cut up. Well, if spelt is a grain, it's one of the five grains. We know even by Pesach, what's five grains? Wheat, barley, oats, rye, and spelt. These are the five grains. The Gemara is machadish over here. If you cut up wheat into one, two, three, whatever, then it's not grain anymore.
And why?
Unless if it's made into a flour, then it becomes grain.
If it's just broken into two or three or four,
it's not a matzi.
And if it's a grain,
I'll give you an example. You have all these breakfast cereals, yeah?
A grain by itself is not a matzi.
No, it's not. So it's adama. So it's not a grain. No, the Gemara says it's not a grain.
A grain, one.
No, a whole grain is called dagon. That's what the Gemara says. You know, once you chop it up, what?
But it's not hamotzi, it's just a whole grain. I mean, I don't know if hamotzi is the definition.
See, it says like this. Once the kernels are split, they're no longer stored in piles. Therefore, it's not called dagon. Now, again, this is not Pesach laws.
No, generally.
This is, what do people mean when they say dagon? Because the din by a neder, by a vow is, you go according to the language of people. If people call it grain, it's grain. People don't call it grain, we're not talking even like Pesach, might have a completely different din of grain. Okay? But here the Gemara is saying that once it's cut up into a few pieces, people don't call it grain anymore. Because it's not piled. But spelt is a grain. And the Gemara answers Kashi of Akashi. No answer to the question. So basically the Gemara refutes Rav Dimi, even though it doesn't necessarily mean that they refuted him. But there's no answer to this question. Now the Gemara continues and says like this. Davhune Sharu Lulahane Krufaisa the Mazel is Abuni Kirchaya Beshukam. Ravuna permitted, obviously in Chol HaMoed, the spice merchants to go sell their spices openly in the marketplace. And Chol HaMoed, he allowed the spice merchants to sell openly. And before we learned, you have to sell Bitsina privately. He permitted them to do it openly. So the Gemara says, Ey, Svei Rav Kahane, Rav Kahane has the Shaila. It says in a Braiser, Chanus Psuch Listyoi, if a case, a store opens to a bench area, Pesach v'nel kedarki. He can open his doors regularly, close the doors regularly. Why? Because the shop is in a secluded area. In the olden times like this, the Gemara is going to say, you have stores, some stores were mamish open to the street. That was called public selling. Then there are sometimes stores open into a little bench area. So it wasn't a public thoroughfare. So because that's called Sina. So the Gemara says, people that sell, you know, stores that sell stuff, if it's open to Stiyoi, because it's private selling, you're allowed to open and close the doors regularly. What happens if your store opens straight to the street? So then it's public selling. So Gemara gives you an advice. You can open one door, close the other door, meaning to show some type of privacy. The Erev Yom Tov for Achim Shochag, but on Erev Shmini Atzeres, it's then Meitzi Uma'ater Shuki Erev Bepedis, a shopkeeper could bring out his wares, B'Shvil Kovid Yermach, and you can take everything out into the market, into the street. For the last day of Yom Tov, you can sell everything publicly. Okay? What do you see from there? When can you sell publicly? Only on the last day of Sukkos. Hashem Rabba. Yet Rav Huna permitted them the whole Chol HaMoed to do it, to sell openly. So the Gemara said, how did Rav Huna permit the spice merchants to openly sell their wares in the public places on Chol HaMoed, when this Braisa says the only time the Chachamim allowed it was Hashem Rabba? And the Pesach write the same thing as Shvi Shal Pesach also. You know, Erev Shvi Shal Pesach. But not on Chol HaMoed. Not for the rest of Chol HaMoed, only the last day of Yom of Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara asks, Mipnei Kovid Yom Tov Achrinin. It's only allowed in honor of the last day of Yom Tov. But Shalei Mipnei Kovid Yom Tov Lei. But if it's not for the last day of Yom Tov, you're not allowed to. So the question is, how did Rav Huna allow the spice merchants to sell their stuff openly? So the Gemara answers like Kasha. It's not a question. He says like this. When can you sell privately? When do you have to sell privately? Payday. Fruits. The Gemara says like this. This is what the Gemara says. We used to work in the olden times. Fruits, people used to buy in large quantities. So when people bought, they didn't only buy it for Yom Tov. They bought it for after Yom Tov too. They used to buy by the cases. So that's not called Tzerech HaMoed. So therefore the Chachamim only permitted the person to do it privately. Spices, people only bought a little bit at a time. So Rav Huna says, if you're selling spices, everybody sees it, Tzerech HaMoed. Everybody knows you're buying it only for Yom Tov, because you only buy it for a day or two. Fruits, if you're going to sell publicly, people are thinking, because you buy in such bulk, you're going to buy for after Yom Tov too. And that you're not allowed to do.
It should be the other way around. The fruit is perishable, but the spices are not. So people would not buy it for after the month, but the spices they would, because it's not perishable.
That's what the commentary is right over here. One second, they're right over here. The question also, what is the proof? Rashi says spices means cabbage and leek. Okay? Rashi identifies the spices not as what we have ground spices. Ground spices take last. But they used to use cabbage and leek as spices. And those didn't last. And they didn't have refrigerators. Those didn't last a long time. Some people say cumin and peppercorns. The Mefarshim explain that even spices that are ground, after a little period of time, lose their potency. In the old times, used to do the real spices, you know. So spices, everybody sees, you're only going to buy for Yom Tov itself. But the fruits, people buy in large quantities, therefore you have to sell it privately.
You think Rabbi Yossi would allow selling spices?
According to Rav Huna, he would, yeah.
Because the Mishnah after was mostly talking about fruit and
fruits, yeah, but spices he would allow. If you notice, all the things the Gemara is talking about buying, the Gemara says about selling fruits, clothing, and kelim. That's not only Tzerech HaMoed. He brings down over here that the Ran writes that this heter of Rav Huna is not limited to spices. Any product which is normally purchased in small quantities, you're allowed to do it publicly. And he writes, that's why the Mardchai, who was one of the Rishonim back at the Gemara, holds that fishermen could also sell fish publicly. Why? Because fish doesn't last, as everybody knows. So everybody knows if you're buying fish, it's only for Yom Tov. So basically, the bottom line of the Gemara is, Rav Huna allowed anything that you could tell you're buying for Yom Tov, you could sell any day, you could buy any day Chol Moed. Other things, only out of respect for the last day of Yom Tov, for the last Yom Tov, can you sell openly, but only the last day of Chol Moed, not any other day. So there's a whole argument over here. Does it refer? Oh, how about the last day of Chol Moed Pesach? Why does the Braisa only say Hashanah Rabbah, not the last day of Pesach too? And they say because some poskim write only the last day of, because Shmini Atzeres is a separate Yom Tov. So to show its status as a separate Yom Tov, they allow to sell fruits publicly for the status of Yom Tov. But Shvi'ah Shel Pesach may not be. Some poskim write the same thing with a player as Shvi'ah Shel Pesach too. Okay, at least we finished the Perek. In Emirat Hashem, after Sukkot, we'll start the new Perek.